Good morning to you. Thank you, Cody. I just gave that to him right before service. That's the part that I always forget about, and I'm sorry, there are a bunch of odd names in there. That's not any fun. But you read that very, very well, and it is a part of our sermon this morning. I always feel like I want to, and feel perhaps that you deserve to at least have a clue as to where I'm coming from, where I get my ideas for my sermons. In particular, when I speak, I like to have fun. It turned out that from a very young age, my parents told me that I was different, and it took me a long time to realize that's not necessarily a good thing. They didn't do that, but I knew I'd get a smile out of it. But I like to be different. I like to throw in scripture, because, hey, that's what we're here for, is to learn the Bible and learn about Jesus. And I like to kind of do it my own way. So that's how I arrived at this particular sermon. We were singing, I believe it was out of the Blue Book, and I tried to find this song. But I turned around and I said to Mom, well, what does that mean? You know, and I had no idea what it meant. And so trying to raise the bar on Mark, who came up with one of the best titles to a sermon that I've ever heard the other day, where it was the alphabet, L through whatever. This one is titled, and I've kind of lost my voice this morning. Here I raise my Ebenezer. What? That's the title of that song. Or, I'm sorry, that's the title of the sermon. Well, I'm going to start this all. What we're going to be doing this morning is we're going to be telling what some of these words are that are in these songs that perhaps you all know. I knew some of them. Others I had no clue. But I think it's important that we know what we're saying and what we're singing, because even though there wouldn't be anything that was bad in this book that we're singing, it's certainly important to know what you're saying. So I'm going to give you a gimme. If you want to use your songbooks, most of them are going to be out of the red books this morning. That line comes from song number 545. In the second line, it says, here I raise my Ebenezer, hitherto thy help I've come. This is going to be the only gimme. What's Ebenezer? It's right there at the bottom of that page, right? So, as was read this morning, when the children of Israel were getting ready to go up against the Philistines, and when they won, Samuel set a stone, and he called it Ebenezer. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen, and called the name of it Ebenezer, that is, the stone of help, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come. With the Lord's help, with the stone of help, we're coming to this fountain of every blessing, and that's what this song is talking about. I'm going to use one song out of the Purple Book, and you don't necessarily need to turn there. It's number 47. It's entitled Thomas's Song, which I think is a really beautiful song. I brought it up in a short sermon before. The final line, though, says, I proudly say with blazoned cry, you are my Lord and my God. What's blazon mean? Well, blazon means to set forth conspicuously or publicly, to display or proclaim. So I proudly say, publicly, I shout it out, you are my Lord, you're my God. Now I can get this big book out of the way. Now some of these that I'm going to give you this morning are just the closest I can come. They're my best understanding. The trouble is when you think you know something, there's somebody else that knows it better than you do. So if I mess up something this morning and I'm misinterpreting it a little bit, feel free to let me know after the service so I can be embarrassed in private. The next song is number 19. I was going to sing these all this morning, by the way, so you're lucky that I picked up a little bit of a bug, because you won't have to listen to me singing now. In this particular song, I should have highlighted them because it was easier to find them when I was writing them. It sings about the royal diadem. And it says, they brought the royal diadem. What's a diadem? That's correct. I had no clue. I thought perhaps it was something to do with a song. But it is a crown. It was originally a white ribbon, ending in a knot with two strips that was placed about the shoulders and then surrounded the head of a king to denote his authority. And then later, the term was applied to a crown, generally with circular shape, For example, the crown worn by kings of Anglo-Saxon England were diadems. So, we put on a crown. At the top of the page, on 19, it has a reference verse. This is a little bit of trivia there. Revelation 15:14. Flipping to Revelations really quick, and I did this last night, so I'll just pretend like I'm doing it. I note that there is not a matching verse of this. That's actually Revelation 14:14. Just a little bit of trivia there. Our next song is song number 39. Is thy heart right with God? The first line, have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Affections. Now that's something that I typically think of. I have affection for you. I like you. I have good feelings towards you. However, affections can mean any emotion, whether they're benevolent actions, esteem, gratitude, or malevolent affections like hatred and envy. So it makes a little more sense there. If they're good or bad, have your bad emotions been nailed to the cross? Is your heart right with God? And that's what that song's saying. Song number 50. Line 2. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom. Eden's bowers. Well, we all know about the Garden of Eden. That's certainly referenced here, but what are bowers? So if you want, we can do a little show of hands. I'll have a little quiz for you here. Does it refer to a riverbank? A group of people appreciating applause? Bowers? Could. Probably not in this case. A shady, leafy recess? Like an arbor? That's my guess. My best guess is that it's a shady, peaceful area, contrasting the beginning of that line that says the deepest gloom, just like the next part says, by water still or troubled sea. There's a contrast there. But that's Eden Bowers. Flipping the page to number 51. It's in the second verse towards the end of the song where it says, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall. Fetters. A distant relative of mine? Maybe. Nice family from the Dean Avenue congregation? Definitely. Not referenced here, though. It's actually defined this way. Fetters, or shackles, foot cuffs or leg irons, are a physical restraint used on the feet or ankles. So that ties directly into the previous line, shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall. Here's another bit of trivia. On this song, it's inspired by Luke 9:16. And Luke 9:16 says, he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. Some congregations mistakenly refer to this song as a Lord's Table song, when in fact it has nothing to do with the Lord's Table. It's about the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. Song number 59. The second verse, about the middle of the song, it speaks about cherubim and seraphim. Well, I thought, and I forgot to put this in the beginning of the sermon. Let me back all the way up to the beginning, but I won't start again. I'm going to interject some of my own misunderstandings that I had as a child. Feel free to think about them yourself. That way I can feel like I wasn't the only one that didn't know all these. I thought that seraphim was an exotic oil. I knew what a cherubim was, and typically a cherubim is pictured as a young or a baby angel. But what is seraphim? Well, in the Christian angelic hierarchy, seraphim represents the highest known rank of angels. So there are only 2 angels that are canonized in the Hebrew Bible that are mentioned by name. Of course, Michael, sometimes called an archangel, and Gabriel. So, cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, these angels fall down before God. Psalm 66. The first verse, towards the bottom of the page, him serve with mirth, his praise forth tell. Well, once again, when I was young, I thought that mirth just sounded like dirt to me, and that didn't make any sense. However, mirth is gladness or gaiety. especially when expressed by laughter. Serve the Lord with a cheerful voice. Be happy about it. Praise Him. Song number 70. Out of the Ivory Palaces. It's a beautiful song. Number 70. The third verse says his garments, too, were in cassia dipped. So what's cassia? This is where I'm asking you, Dad. No idea? I had no idea. Well, actually, it's I looked it up and specifically put it in capital letters, so I did pronounce it right. It's a tropical Asian evergreen tree that puts out a very aromatic bark, much like cinnamon. So his garments were dipped in a very nice-smelling cinnamon. How about that? All the garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces. And that's the Psalm 45, verse 8, that's referencing. This is one of my favorites. I really love this one here. Wait. Oh, I don't think she's here today, so she's not going to turn red. 131 is Jesus, Rose of Sharon. Now, we also refer to the Rose of Sharon, or Sharon's Perfect Sweet Rose, in the song Paradise Valley. And as a child, I always tried to peek over at Sharon when we sang that. I don't know why. Young guys are really weird. Actually, and I imagine quite a few people know this, it's a shrub. And apparently we even have some on the golf course, I was told by my wife last night, just to show you how blind I am. It's prized for its size of its flowers, its long blooming period, and it has a striking cylindrical growth habit. You should look at pictures of it sometime. It's actually an amazing plant. 225. The last line of the third verse, but take to arm you for the fight the panoply of God. Panoply, again, I had no idea. The definition is a complete suit of armor. Panoply. So, arm yourself for the fight with God's panoply. I expect that God's abilities to arm you for that fight, they provide a good armor, whether it's real physical armor or where it's spiritual. Either way, but that's panoply of God. 286, and the title is Olive's Brow. Now, it would be very confusing if you didn't know that it was referring to Mount Olive, and that's true. As a child, I didn't know that. I pictured that little green gross fruit that I couldn't stand. Or is it a vegetable? What is Olive's Brow? One definition of brow is the projecting upper edge of a steep place. I didn't know that. So the star that they're referencing in that first line that's dimming and lately shown is dimming near the top of a mountain, essentially. And that's Olive's Brow. I wondered, as we turn to 293, if the song leader this morning would ever accidentally pick up on one of my songs, and by golly, he did. And if you don't pay attention to anything else I say this morning, this one is really touching for me. Night with Ebon Pinion. Okay, I've got this part. Ebon equals black. Yeah, that's great. Pinion. What does pinion mean? One of the things that pinion can mean is the wing of a bird. So this is my assumption, and I wrote this down, that this song beginning with Night with Ebon Pinion brooded o'er the veil, the night in which Jesus was in the garden praying, was a night where wings of darkness hovered over the valley. Night with Ebon Pinion brooded o'er the veil. And I just thought that was kind of touching. I don't know exactly that that's what the songwriter meant, but that's how I'm interpreting it this morning. Number 395. In Beulah Land, the fourth verse, it references to the zephyrs seem to float to me, sweet sounds of heaven's melody. Zephyrs. It's a AAA baseball team, isn't it? Pretty sure? Yeah. So what does it mean? It's the west wind or a gentle breeze. So a gentle breeze seems to float to me, sweet sounds of heaven's melody. Number 494, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, at the end of the first verse, talks about over the Jasper Sea. Okay, when I was a kid, I just assumed that there was a Jasper Sea. It's not capitalized here, is it? So it's actually an adjective describing the sea. What does Jasper mean? Revelations 21:11 says it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. So it sounds to me that that sea must be quite clear. The back page. Our God, He is alive. It begins with, there is beyond the Asia blue. Is that redundant? Because doesn't Asia mean a little purplish shade of blue? Yes, it does as an adjective, but as a noun, it means a clear, cloudless sky. So beyond that, and we don't see it much anymore this month, that blue, clear, cloudless sky that you see out there, there's your God. Because God's concealed from human sight behind that azure blue. I'd like to look at the whole third verse quick while I read to you, please. Secure is life from mortal mind. God holds the germ within His hand. Though men may search, they cannot find, for God alone does understand. We've sung it 400,000 times. You ever thought about that line? Mortal man doesn't know how to make life. It's secure in God's own mind. We can search for it. We can find. Or I'm sorry, we can't find. God alone understands. It's actually a pretty telling story right in the middle of that song. I hope that this was fun, interesting, spiritual, helpful. And so as we get ready to close this, I'd like to go to one last confusing word. Song number 358. When the saved get to heaven, saved, in a church it means to deliver from the power of the consequences of sin. Mark 16:16 says that he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, that he that believeth not shall be damned. I went to a different church, Church of Christ, and this song was entitled When We All Get to Heaven There. I don't think that's right. Because when you say the saved get to heaven, it means that the people that believed and stayed with it, they're the ones that are going to go. It's not necessarily all of us that are going to go to heaven. And saved doesn't really fit in with the rest of the sermon this morning, because I hope that's not a word that's very confusing to anybody here this morning. I hope it's a word that's perfectly obvious. We have this opportunity this morning as we come to the end of this service. If you feel a need to come forward and be baptized and confess your sins, if you're a member of the congregation who has fallen away for any reason and needs help this morning, then come forward while we stand and sing.